Welcome to Big Girl Pants Podcast,
where we're here to talk about women, health, power, and wealth.
Hosted by April Melton
and Kimberly Shapiro.
We are real women with real jobs doing real life. We as women know what it feels like to try to be super mom, super fit, wrinkle-free.
All the while climbing the corporate ladder.
Sound familiar? Then this show is for you.
So stay tuned. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Everyone's listening. I'm telling you this again because it's the same day. Shapiro looks amazing.
You're so sweet.
Because she has family photos
pictures
today.
I get to take pictures with my grandbaby. Mm. I can't wait.
It's so exciting.
I know. It's going to be fun.
So we have another guest.
Yes.
This is funny and
John
so random.
Bros. Did I say that right?
Yep,
Bros.
On the microphone.
On the mic. Oh, he
literally
just got spanked and we just started.
Got spanked again, bro.
Got spanked again, bros.
So
I am going to let April share how you two know one another and we'll just kind of go.
And why he's here. So you got to meet Chloe.
I'm John Bros and I'm an alcoholic. That was a wrong meeting.
He's extremely sarcastic and very, very funny, but also very, very smart.
Well, and I have a question. This was the first time you've ever met Chloe?
Yeah.
Nobody would know that. The child is like a magnet. She was like following him around.
He's also a Gemini, and Ryan is a Gemini, and Chloe loves Ryan.
Oh, you are similar personalities. Yeah, I can see that. I can see why you're friends now. Okay, carry on.
So for a little bit of backstory, for those who are listening, John Bros is not an expert in anything, I wouldn't say. However, I was very impressed by some conversations that we had, and also, because we have experts on our podcast, okay?
So he's a non-expert.
Well, and I think that makes it even more impactful because you're just like a normal person, and we had an exchange like normal people, which what is normal anyway?
I'm just a normal person too, so welcome to the club.
Yeah, a bunch of normal
people.
Feels
great to be here. Thank you.
But all the people that we have on are like experts in their field or whatever. So it's not like he's a relationship expert.
I feel like he just got another spanking and he's been here like a whole 10
seconds. That's why I keep coming back.
He's a masochist. No,
I love it.
We went out on a date last year in November and then... And we met on a dating app, and then we rematched again this year in, like, August? Yeah, in August. We went on a date again, and then went on some subsequent dates, and then we decided that...
Wait, can I ask a question?
Sure.
I don't understand dating apps. I've never actually been on one. So,
I love this.
When you say rematched, that happens? So you go out with somebody, it doesn't work out, and it'll put you together again?
Well,
it's only when one person gets emotional and deletes the dating app. And then re-downloads it. Then they can rematch with you.
Based on this conversation, that would be April?
Yeah, that would be April.
So, wait, but you dated somebody in January. Did you not delete your app in January when you were dating someone?
I wasn't exclusive with them. I just didn't open the app.
Mm. But why would you delete? Why not just
Because it's emotionally
driven.
Because
you get emotional.
Yeah, it's emotional.
Oh, it's like, I'm going to delete you, mother trucker.
I don't need you.
I don't think it's like... specific to one person. It's just like, oh, I've met someone. We're dating. I'm going to delete the app.
Oh, I gotcha.
That's what I did.
Gotcha.
When I was dating Dan, I deleted Hinge.
Back in the days when I dated, they didn't have these things.
Yeah, that's why I love...
have smartphones.
I love this because the perspective is so different. Yeah. Like, you're like, what's that? How does that work?
Literally have never swiped right or left. I just
which
know
makes
it's
it,
a thing.
Yeah, which makes it that much better.
Yeah.
So we went on a couple of dates. I feel like they were good dates. Were they good dates?
Oh,
a little above average.
You're on my podcast.
Are we gonna
I'm sorry, it was
at least,
great.
Like, be nice to me?
No, can we really know the details?
I have to wait a few minutes to be nice.
I want to know the
truth,
though.
No, you have to be nice up front.
Oh.
You're on my podcast.
I want to know the details.
That's how this works. Okay, we'll hear from your perspective.
What made the date great and what made it not great?
The dress you were wearing on the first date. I could see your calves.
That's what made it great.
Yeah.
Is that the only thing you can
say? I was like, much,
is
it.
That great or is that not great? Like, I don't know.
Okay, so we'll hear from your perspective. Actually, we can take it from the first date. And then you can say, like, what was going through your mind, like, when we rematched and then went out again.
Okay. Well, the first date, I don't remember everything we talked about, but we've been through similar experiences.
Yeah.
And getting divorced.
Yep. But you don't have children.
Don't have children, no.
Right.
That I know of.
So let's preface everyone who's listening, like, who you are and what you are and all of that, so they can kind of know where you're coming from.
Yeah. I grew up in Rockwall. My parents still live there. My sister coaches volleyball at the same high school that we went to. My middle sister is a pharmacist. We all went to Texas A&M. Just all of the stereotypes, please apply them. I'm an electrical engineer. I design circuits.
Very exciting.
Yeah, fun stuff.
Mm-hmm. Very exciting. You're
I like
smart
hockey.
Guy.
Don't like talking about myself too much.
Apparently.
I just make jokes. That's all I'm here for.
Self-deprecating jokes.
Yeah. Funny. So where'd you go on your first date, guys?
On the first date, we went to Ida Claire in Addison.
I love that place.
I know.
Yeah, it's good.
It was a good date, too.
Yeah, you suggested it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Surprise. Surprise. Surprise.
Mm-hmm. So it was a good date.
Yeah,
we had fun.
A lot of good conversation.
Great conversation.
Jokes.
I offended you mildly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What'd you say? What'd you say?
I can't tell you what I said on the podcast. So that was on our first date. And then, you know, we talked about, like, what happened with you and your ex-wife and stuff like that.
Well, was there a second date or did it end there?
It ended at the first
date.
Yeah.
Okay.
We were interested in going on another one, but we were both busy or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, you were like, what, 6 months from being divorced?
Yeah, yeah.
And that was kind of like, and no offense, but that was kind of like a red flag for me. Yeah. I'm like, all right, it's only been 6 months. Like, there's no way that you'll be interested in dating seriously.
It should have been a red flag, yeah.
You're playing the field.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so then we rematched. What was going through your mind when we rematched?
I was like, oh, cool.
Okay,
that's cool. That was my thought, yeah. It was also like one of those, like, I wonder what you've experienced recently. Because you had changed some of your answers on your
Because I wrote, someone, the person that I go out with has to be okay with, like, taking it slow or whatever. Yeah.
And that contrasted quite a lot with the "he wouldn't fuck me" comment. I was like, oh, maybe we're trying the opposite now.
Can you see why we're friends?
She's like, I was maturing, okay?
Yes. And that's exactly what I said, I think, even on our second first date. Like, it was like, yeah, sorry that I said that.
Oh, yeah, you brought that up specifically. I didn't bring it up.
Yeah, because it was like, it was very childlike.
But you know what I love about it? It is your personality.
I know.
And it's like, if you put that out there, yes, it was probably too soon, but if you put that out there and somebody can roll with it, then you know they can roll with you.
I love that.
Yeah, exactly.
You said that. And that is like why we're here.
Yeah,
exactly. So, okay. So we went out again. We repeated the date. We went to Ida Claire again. And like, I thought when we rematched, so John is, you're 30. So he's 2 years younger than me, which... not that that's an issue. I know I'm getting like an ugly stare right now, but not that that's an issue. It's just a difference.
I was just trying to think of somebody I could hook him up with. Keep carry on.
Dude, me too. Oh, actually, I already did. I already introduced him to somebody.
I've got somebody.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. Can continue.
Who is it?
I'm not going to stay on here.
Man, I want to know.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
That exchange was great. I wish everybody could see the little eye contact going on between you.
This is us like all the time. We're the best. So, we go out again and we repeat the date and he's like, he has a great, great personality. Like he's so funny, rolls with the punches, very sarcastic, which is awesome. Again, very similar to my best friend. That's why we're so compatible as friends. But we go on the date again and then like we had a good time. I had a great time.
That was the roller skating.
No, I declare.
Oh, you mean the second one? Yeah.
Yeah.
First date. We went back.
So we repeated it.
Oh, yeah.
He was trying to get like the same table that we went to the first time, which was admirable, but we couldn't because whatever reason. But I mean, we went out.
And you'd forgotten that we'd been there.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
She did.
She did.
No, how would I forget our first date when I literally just said it?
You forgot what I said on the app.
On the first date. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My memory's not that bad. Thank you. Which Shapiro can attest to because I have a podcast and I recollect things often.
It's insane the things she remembers. Anyway, continue on.
Just keep sliding the money in
when they're
the
important. So anyway, so we go out on a date and then...
yeah, it was really good.
I actually booked like two other dates that night, like after dinner, because I was like, oh, maybe we'll go to dinner, we'll catch up, whatever, and then I'll deuce out. But I ended up canceling any plans after that, and we ended up going to a bar afterwards.
Did you cancel it, or was it canceled?
It was, well, the first one was canceled on me.
I remember this.
Yeah.
You had two more after that? You had that show, then another one?
Well, I had that show, and then I was supposed to go to my friend's birthday party.
The same night?
Yeah.
Dang, man.
Yeah. That's what I do when I don't have Chloe. Like, I book my calendar. No joke. So, anyway, so we ended up going to a bar, and we were hanging out, and I had a blast. Like, yeah. I had a great time with you.
Yeah.
And I think I had like two drinks or something, and it wasn't anything crazy.
And when was friendship zone established?
So we went on another date or three more dates, right?
Yep.
So we went out for my birthday.
Yep.
The night of my birthday when we were roller skating, which was fun.
Good call.
Thank you.
3 points.
Did you have a terrible time or a great time?
Is this that nostalgic one, like the one in Louisville that is just like a blast from the past.
Yeah, that's it hasn't like, been upgraded intentionally.
And it shouldn't
I'm sure.
be. Yeah,
it's amazing. Yes. So it was like a perfect birthday. He took me to dinner. We went skating. Super like gentleman the whole time. And then we went to a bar after that too. Yeah. And it was an awesome time.
Yeah.
And then we went out. Oh, we went to the barbecue fest on Saturday of that week. And then we went out again, like that next weekend or something.
Yeah. The best part for me was just that we had great conversation. Like anytime we were together.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were texting like every day. Yeah. So after, what was it? The last date, I went to him and I was like, I like you. Like I want to
text.
Yeah. I want to date you. Like I like you and I want to date you exclusively. I don't want to date other people.
So she said that to you first.
Yeah. So we read this book. It's called...
Wait, you both read a book?
Yes.
Yeah.
Intentionally at the same time?
Yep, same time. Well, actually, you started reading it first, and I was like, okay, I'll reread it.
Yeah. Okay, what's the book?
It's called Power of the Pussy.
I've just discovered it. And it's great.
Wow. That's a book?
Yep.
I wouldn't recommend it.
It had a good message.
There's some good strategies in there, but there's some... morally reprehensible stuff also.
More for
women. It's for women.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who've just gotten broken up with and need to feel empowered.
Yes.
Maybe not long term.
Which wouldn't make... Okay, now I understand your perspective on the book and why you think it's amazing. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So we both read this book, and in this book, she talks about going on filler dates, which is essentially like going out with people, even if you may or may not be interested in them, just to kind of deflect from what's actually happening in your life. Maybe you're going through a breakup or you're going through something, and like, so filler dates. So, and I asked him, I was like, do you have any filler dates this week? And he's like, and of course, like half of it was sarcasm, but the other half was like true. Like he was like, yeah, I have three or whatever. And I was like, okay. And then he was like, no, but really I do have one. And I was like, well, I don't want to see other people. I only want to date you. So then that like, what is the word I'm looking for? That like, triggered like us having a serious conversation about dating and not dating, and how I was on one page and you were on another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over the course of a day or
so. Yeah.
And then we ended up talking on the phone, and it was like him coming to me saying, you know, I'm not there. Mm-hmm. I'm not there yet. And I was like, well, I am. And if you're not there, that's fine. But I don't want to, like, I don't think I want to date you if you're
not
there.
Yeah, I think your gut was just telling you if you felt really strongly and I didn't, then I probably never would or something like that. Or maybe it was just the fear of wasting your time. I'm not sure how exactly you felt.
I think it was both.
Just from an outside party listening, do you, from your perspective, did she make that reaction, have that reaction a little too quickly? Like just to say, well, if you're not there, then this is done. Versus just saying, okay, well, let's just keep seeing each other a little bit. You date people, I'll date people. Could it have ever turned into something, or was it never going to turn into something?
I think, like, in the world of all scenarios, there's probably stories that go both ways.
Sure.
But, I mean, in this scenario, I think it just, like, made us see the end sooner than it would have if you didn't do that.
The inevitable end.
Yeah. So she made the right call.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's like... next time, maybe it'll be a different guy.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So I can't really say that for every time.
Yeah, right.
And I kind of obsess.
From my perspective, kind of like, well, fine. If you don't want to play with me, then I'm not playing
with
you.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But
did it feel like that?
Yes. Definitely did.
Okay. But it sounds that way, but it also, I could argue both sides. It's also a mature response to, look, if you're not there, you're probably not going to get there. So let's just not go there.
Yeah.
So I could see both sides.
Yeah. I kind of obsess about always making the right calls. I think a little bit too much about stuff sometimes.
Yeah,
but.
And a little bit of context for people who are listening. Like, you're an amazing person. Like, you're 30 years old. Yeah, sure, you've been married. But, like, you have wonderful parents, a wonderful family. Like, all of this amazing backstory. You have some skin in the game because of your divorce. And, like, you're a little bit jaded about that type of stuff. But you're phenomenal. Like, the true anomaly for most men. So, like, the things that you're, if you'd roll your eyes one more time.
He's like, I don't like
I'm
all
over
of
here
this
complimenting you, and you're
stuff.
Like,
oh all God. These compliments. Stop it.
You're the anxiety such of a jerk. Being complimented needs to be let out somehow.
By eye rolling, yeah. You could say thank you like a normal person.
My legs are already jumping around, so I had to
feel you, man. I do not handle compliments well.
So but you Anyways. Are. You are. So it's like, number, like, first of all, when I even felt comfortable, I felt, to preface it, at the situation, I felt comfortable enough even coming to you and saying those things to you, which is impressive in itself, because most people, like, for me, I overanalyze everything too. So I was like, you know, in most situations I would have been like, oh my gosh, like, how is he going to react or whatever? But I felt comfortable enough with you because of the times that we had hung out that we were so open and honest with each other, even maybe, you know, not as much as we are now, but like, we were so open and honest with each other that I felt comfortable enough to talk to you about that. And then neither one of us got upset with each other. Neither one of us got angry. It was kind of like, okay, well, here's where I'm at. Here's where you're at. We're obviously not on the same page. I think that's the expression that we used multiple times.
I wouldn't
times.
Say it wasn't confrontational, but it didn't like...
No, it was definitely... a confrontation could be a conversation too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it wasn't like I'm yelling at you and I'm pissed off at you.
Yeah.
I was just like, this is where I'm at emotionally and you're not there. So, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I commend you both for developing this budding relationship post dating, because I think most people, if it doesn't work out, they just part ways and it's done. Right.
But also, like, with a little bit of like hesitation and emotional baggage, that's why I asked you to come on, because I wanted to talk about like the situation as a whole, like what we did. And then, like, since then, we've actually been, we're like better friends now than we were when we were dating each other.
That would be my relationship with my ex-husband. Right. So true.
Which, and I think that, this is another reason why I wanted you to come on, because like with the emotional quotient, which if you want to help explain that, Shapiro, Cassandra Vitaka Mitchell wrote a book about it.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly. Is it based on emotional intelligence?
It is.
Okay.
And it's like, for the masses, I feel like people don't have the ability to like be mature enough to say, hey, like it didn't work out.
Well, even there's a reason for that. You know why?
Why?
You have to be vulnerable.
Yes.
And you have to be okay putting yourself out there and feeling not okay. So most people put up an armor and they just don't want to be that raw and that naked in front of somebody. So they just don't go there.
That's what I was going to say too.
Yeah.
Because it was like afterwards, which, by the way, you can speak whenever you want.
I'm calculating.
Okay.
Continue.
So, and it was like afterwards, you know, even like just this week, I'm trying to scroll up in our text right now. He sent me like a really long explanation as to why he wasn't interested in dating me when I was interested in dating him.
Okay.
Yeah. It's one of like the big differences between us that I put in there a little bit was like, how we were joking about how you said that on the first date. And like, I would not be able to roll with that stuff. Because like, I'm like, actually I perceive things and I consider them really strongly, even if they're just jokes.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm like always really scared to tell other people how the flaws that I see or things that don't really match up with me, because I feel like they'll take it like I do, like really seriously. It takes me a long time to word how I want to say something to someone. Because I know, I assume they're just like me, you know what I mean?
It takes him equally as long to tie his shoes.
That's true.
Wow.
So why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about what happened in your marriage, if you feel comfortable.
Yeah, sure.
How long were you married?
Only 2.5 years, okay. But I married my high school sweetheart.
The starter marriage.
Yes.
I had one of those too. It but lasted 2 years as well.
Hold on. Let's clink our tickets.
Yeah. And I'm like, unfortunately, I had 2 children out of mine. And I shouldn't say unfortunately. It was actually a wonderful thing because it's true though, because I'm 44 years old and I've been an empty nester for 3 years. It's pretty awesome. So, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. Okay. So, you married your high school sweetheart.
Yeah. So, she came from a very difficult upbringing. She had a really rough family life.
Yeah.
I was like the luckiest person in the world. Like, my parents are the best people I know.
Still are the luckiest
person in
the
world. Like, I will continue to be the luckiest person in the world.
Because I have phenomenal parents and a phenomenal family.
Love it.
And so we're normal.
She was kind of like in a place where she needed to like find an escape. Kind of, I hate to use the word cling on to, but that's kind of what happened.
Yeah.
And I was the guy whose parents always told him to do the right thing for people. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was like, first, I was really attracted to her. I really loved her a lot. But it also felt like I was doing the right thing for her. So that was like the magic storm or the perfect storm of like making the wrong decision to marry somebody. So anyways, we were together. We did some long distance during college. And then finally, I found out that she'd been cheating.
Oh.
For a long time with somebody who was really close to me. Mm. And then once I found out that, it was kind of like, oh, all those other times, this whole time.
Wow.
I'm sure there was many other people, you know. And she lived in my parents' house for a little while. So it was like really big betrayal.
Yeah. That's awful.
Yeah.
Do you guys talk now at all?
Like, what happened after that? Like, how did you just like confront her and just say like...
My sister caught her at a bar with the guy.
Yeah.
Oh.
And she came home, pretended. I mean, even though my sister saw her, she still like pretended nothing happened.
And she knew your sister saw her.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know if you know this, but that's my sister.
Wow.
We sat at the table and I was like, all right, I think it's time. You know, what's been going on?
Yeah, yeah.
And then she just sat there for like 30 minutes and didn't say a thing. Then finally she said it. And everything was my fault and all this stuff.
It's easier that way.
And then after that, I saw her once for her to pick up her stuff that I'd packed. And once, maybe after that, for some other reason, I don't remember. Hmm. I got a text saying... Sorry. And
that's
then
it.
No other communication then. Yeah.
Gosh.
Her dad's called me a few times.
Do you ever, so you haven't ran into her? Like, do you guys live in the same area?
I don't keep up with her too much, but I know she met a guy and moved to England.
Okay. So no, you don't run into her.
I don't know if she was temporary or what. I don't know the story.
Well, that's.
So that was really nice.
So, and if you feel comfortable answering this question, so from that situation, what would you say some of your, like, insecurities or things that you're working on personally to become more self-aware? What are those?
I was hoping we would talk about. Are you going toward triggers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mine's being manipulated, man.
Right.
Feeling like people aren't being, like,
honest
straightforward
with,
me. Yeah.
Right. Oh, okay.
Like, even the most ridiculous things, and I'll tell you one I haven't told you yet.
Bring
it. This will show how bad it is.
Bring it.
When we went to dinner at the meat market place.
Yeah.
And we were joking with the waiter. And you say, like, oh, it looks like you guys really know each other for a long time. And I was, and then you were like, how long would you say? Because you were kind of encouraging him and, like, kind of assuming and kind of leading, like, we knew each other for a long time, which is clearly the case. Like, we get along really well.
Yeah.
But even that, like, triggered that, oh, is she trying to convince me that, you know what I mean? It's so paranoid. And those ones, like, I can easily filter out, you know?
Yeah.
But then there's other ones. That are like more understandable.
Yeah.
But that's how bad it can be, man.
By the way, I looked the hottest on that date, I think. I think that was like the hottest that I looked.
We can't talk about this. We're friends.
Yes, we can. He's like, nope, not answering that. You're not getting it. He's like, I'm not solidifying or I'm not feeding into your triggers, which is affirmation. So
this is why it doesn't work.
I'm not going to do this for you. See, these are the types of conversations that we've had.
You're trying to get me to say that. I'm not going to say it.
No, I'm not trying to get it.
No, it's
I'm
just
not trying
to.
I'm just saying I looked hot on the date. Which one did I look better?
This
at?
Is why the we last got one to or get the first YouTube. One. This has to be captured.
YouTube, I know.
Hilarious.
So, okay, so I'll say my triggers too. My triggers are like abandonment, like daddy issues.
Okay, define triggers. Like when you say.
So, in a relationship, right? Romantic triggers or things that you think that you need or things that you need to fill your bucket, right? So, for me, Like your love languages. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So like mine are words of affirmation and physical touch. That's the way that I receive love. So normally that's the way that I give love because it's natural for me. Right.
Sorry.
But for you, I don't know. What are your love languages?
I'm a really big physical touch guy. Like with my dad, I stayed the night at his house last night, right. And I was like leaning all over him like a little kid.
You're like, I love you, Dad. That's cute. Yeah, you sent me a picture yesterday with like your leg on his lap while you guys were playing cards. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
You're like,
I'm a child.
Thanks. Like, thanks for putting me on blast. Child. So, okay, and triggers meaning like words of affirmation for me is like, that's the way that I receive it. So I need my partner to know that and to feed into that bucket for me. So I need you to give me compliments, tell me that I'm pretty, smart, whatever. And
feed me tacos.
Feed me. Yeah. Hashtag basic. But like, those are the things that he isn't very good at. I don't know why, maybe the personality difference, maybe whatever. And then like, you know, like he said, being manipulated is his trigger. Like he thinks that people are trying to manipulate him. And I guess I maybe triggered that for you.
Yeah. Okay. Like even the conversation we were talking about where you were saying like, okay, well, we're either dating or we're not. I was like
first of all, I did not say that.
You said more words than
that.
In
so many words, yes. Yeah. Thank you. I didn't say, like, decide right now. It's black or white. You better date me. No.
So tell me.
I was much cooler than that. But wait.
Triggers for me, like, I define them as things that come up that trigger...
Like an emotional response.
Like an anxious response.
Right. It's like a negative thing though, right? This isn't like a positive thing. No. It's just like something that if it is quote unquote triggered, it's taking you to a bad place.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll take me into a bad emotional place and my logic will take a long time to come back from that.
Got you.
Because you know you're being ridiculous, but you just feel, oh God, what is that?
Okay,
you know?
That makes sense.
So this is the text message that he sent me after I asked.
Are we reading?
That's a lot of words. Let me see that. Like, you wrote all these words.
Yes. That's why we're friends. Because he was nice enough to do this. Whereas, like, most people would have ghosted, right? I think that's like, true. Why that's I was true. So impressed by it, number one. Number two, like, there's been so many times in my life where I didn't have closure, or I didn't have an explanation, or I didn't have an understanding. That's why I wanted to make a podcast episode about this, because this... So I have a lot of friends that are on either side, right? They're either single or they're divorced and they're dating again, or they will soon be dating again. I have a friend that I can think of specifically who's about to go through a divorce, and she's going to get back out there. And when I posted on my Instagram story that like dating is just, and I sent you this meme, but it's like, yeah, dating is all fun and games until you realize that like eventually they stop texting you and they just watch your Instagram story for the rest of their lives until you both die. And that's what has happened to me in so many different cases. I start dating someone, we start talking, you know, or we start texting, especially from dating apps. They start texting and then they lose interest and they stop texting you, and then they just watch your social media like forever, and then they just passive aggressively like all of your things on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. So I asked him, or we had a conversation around it, and I kind of explained to you that some of the things that were concerning for me as far as dating you, and they weren't even like negative. It was like, as someone who's had a child and has gone through that with somebody else, my husband at the time, like I would want John to experience that with someone who maybe didn't have children. And that was kind of a concern for me, because I'm like, you're so great. You're so awesome. I want you to find someone that is equally as awesome as you to experience that with for the first time together.
Yeah.
Because like sometimes, and I don't want to say, because this kind of happened with Chloe's dad. Because I had had a child before, it kind of robs you of that first time experience doing that together, mm-hmm. which that happened with Chloe's dad. So I wouldn't want that for you, because having children is an amazing experience. And like when you go through it with someone else, like for the first time, it's equally as amazing. But so I told him a couple of things, and like, you know, the fact that like I'm very much a words of affirmation person, so I need like compliments and I need nice things and whatever. And I felt like John assumed that I was like that I, because I am confident, headstrong, whatever, that I just automatically know all these things. But from a partner, like I need those types of things.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So this is the text message that he sent me, and I will read it for everyone who's listening. he was so like, I mean, compliment sandwiches.
Did you guys talk about
everything.
This before you got here? Like, did you know she was going to be reading this?
No.
How do you feel about that?
Does that make you uncomfortable?
Right,
no.
Okay, good.
Just acting.
Because we did, I'm like, yeah, he's a liar.
I'm just building the anticipation for everyone, you know?
Thank you. Your voice is doing it well enough.
Skip the naughty stuff.
When describing you to others, I would refer to you as a, quote, badass or a, quote, force to be reckoned with. The thing I like about you most is your intelligence, confidence, and motivation. If we were dating and I left the room, I wouldn't have a doubt that you would hold your own and say things that I'd mostly agree with. This is kind of like a trust thing, not to say that I just want someone who doesn't say stupid stuff. You're welcome.
Thank you.
I'd also describe you as really into working out. Like, quote, she could definitely kick my ass, and I think that's cool, end quote. That's nothing big, but I thought you might like to hear that. And of course, the other things about how we challenge each other, humor, et cetera, et cetera. Now for the good stuff. And keep in mind that I'm describing how I think we differ in my eyes after less than 48 hours of FaceTime. And you're going to disagree, but I'm sure that there's a nugget of good stuff in here for you. How nice is that?
So great.
So nice. One of these differences is in agreeableness. Sometimes you can be very self-assured in the way that you engage and can be quick to go on the attack in an argument when there is an issue. Parentheses. Though I wonder if with some of them you're unconsciously not exactly sure and fighting for that to stay buried so you don't have to spend brain energy on it. In parentheses. And that is definitely a normal human response to keep our worlds in check. When these times come, you can be quick to break some of Megan's advice. We both watched a TED Talk. A TED Talk by...
Megan Phillips Roper.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who was... a child of the originators of the Westboro Baptist Church.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
The cultish.
Yeah, and she
really spoke on, like, emotional health and speaking, like, how...
How to communicate with someone who's coming from a different background than you and not to alienate them, have a chance to... It didn't exactly apply, but they were still good rules for...
Yeah, totally. So when these times come, you can be quick to break some of Megan's advice. Assuming negative intentions. You do ask questions, but they can feel more leading / rhetorical than genuine. Attacking the other person by putting them down directly or indirectly or without consideration of their feelings. Quote, he just wouldn't fuck me. End quote. Quote, I like how you have to be right. I said that to John once.
Yeah.
Quote,
I was right.
Quote, I was worried that you might not be good in bed. End quote. I said that to John.
Wow.
Yeah, that wasn't very nice. And see, that's the thing too, is like, that's where we differ as far as communication, because I was being facetious in most of those statements, but he took those the same as Ryan does. He takes me literally when I'm being sarcastic.
I think.
Well, I'm that way too though.
Right.
Yeah. I am just like that.
Yes. You don't speak sarcasm
not
all the
at
time.
All. Yeah. It's not my language and I miss a lot of jokes and think that they're intentional slaps because I don't get
sarcasm. Like one time I said, I'm not even, excuse me, I'm sorry, this Topo Chico keeps making me burp. I was like, I'm not even mad. Shapiro looks at me and she's like, why would you be mad? And I'm like,
it's like, I know they're jokes, but still I just receive them
differently.
Differently. Yeah. I always consider what someone's, I just had this tendency to self-doubt.
Right.
And I know once I think about it for a while, I'm like, oh, what are you talking about? You know? But I'll have to think about it.
It's the initial response.
It makes me spend time, and it's the fact that you have
to process it that way.
Have to process it, yeah.
Like, that's how you know. That was another, like, red flag for you. Like, we're not going to be compatible if this is the way that you communicate.
And it sounds like I also wondered, you know, if we'd break any furniture, you know. But I would never, like, say that to you out loud.
We'd break any furniture?
We're talking about in bed. But I wouldn't say that out loud ever to you.
Oh my God. Because like,
I would just take that like bad. That's so I don't do it, but you don't take it bad.
Mm.
So you say it.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah,
I do. So, this is something else that I said to him. If you want to go play the game, go ahead. It's totally cool when it's actually not cool. If you aren't sure about me, it must be because you want to chase after dumb 25-year-olds. Something else that I didn't say, but I can understand how you alluded that from something I said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always... This is more things that I said. I'm always cautious...
Started out so great.
Oh my God, I love you so much. I'm always cautious to date younger guys or guys without kids because XYZ problems. Parentheses. That makes someone feel... that you don't see them as a person with a unique background and real feelings to contend with, in parentheses.
Yeah, whenever we had that conversation, you were kind of like listing these things. And so you were kind of like listening to yourself and you were emotional at the time. You're like listing all the reasons why you shouldn't have been interested in the first place.
Yeah.
And these kind of things. And I just kind of knew you were being emotional, but like,
and you're like, well, fuck me, right? Oh, okay. Thanks a lot. Like, why am I even here?
I don't know.
Yes. I get it. Which, I mean, sometimes, and that's the hard part for me too, is that sometimes I need somebody to like check me and be like, what did you actually mean by that? Or did you really mean like what you just said? Which is frustrating for me because I assume, and I told you this too, I assume that people know what my intention is, but not right. necessarily yeah. by what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I'm like so opposite. I always know. Assume that I have to be so specific
and thorough
with my words.
Oh yeah.
To not hurt somebody's feelings.
Yeah. yeah. So again,
that's what
this
I
is why it well, wouldn't work.
You're, that means you're thoughtful.
Yes.
I would think.
And I'm not. And then he says, there are others before our talk, but there are just too many good examples since. But for me, this is him speaking, but for me, I'm the opposite. I default to feeling unsure, comma, questioning myself, comma, and wanting to fix, assuming I've missed something or that I have done something that the other person is saying, parentheses, even when I've consciously been intentional about not doing what they're saying, in parentheses, like Jordan Peterson describes people that are very agreeable, colon. I tend to defend others' feelings, comma, especially those that I care about, comma, before myself, period. Which sounds sanctimonious, but those things about me are flaws, and JP would agree, Jordan Peterson. I literally spent brain power to debunk all of the things above that were said in relation to me. I think someone who is more self-assured about themselves and you quickly would be a better fit. So when you're in your feels and going on the attack, they'll just be like, shut the fuck, April. Shut the fuck. Shut the fuck up, April. I like you, and I'll see you on Saturday. You've seen a little bit of that from me, like about your memory, but I expend a lot of energy to do that and don't like it. Like you said on our first date, I don't have sex anymore because I've seen it.
Oh, one.
I know.
Let's go to the end.
Okay.
That was an inside joke.
Okay, sorry.
Too much time to explain that one.
No. Wait, that's not the right quote. Yeah. This one. I want to see if my flaws fit your flaws.
Yeah, that's what you said. Yeah.
This is one where I think we don't fit very well.
Yeah.
And that was like the beginning of a beautiful friendship, I think.
I love it. I think that's
like,
awesome.
Before I sent that, I was like, am I going to send this?
Yeah, I bet you
I feel like you were a little apprehensive and nervous to send
it
that to me.
It took me like an hour to get the right wording.
Right.
And I was like sitting by the send. I was like, okay.
Do I do it? Yeah. Do I do it? And then you do it and you're like, oh my God, I never said it. Eek! So let's talk about you for a minute. Tell me, because you've been in the dating scene for how long now?
A year and a half.
What are you like? What I know from her perspective, kind of what the market, if you will, looks like. What are your experiences? Like what makes dating such a challenge from a man's perspective?
Paying for all the dates. Just kidding.
Well, because you seem like a catch, good looking guy,
normal
smart.
Family.
Yeah, I mean there don't seem to be any like real red flags. What do you think is? I'm just gonna go there, and I don't mean this anything against
you. No, say
you,
it. Say it.
Wrong with women today? Like, why is it so hard to find a connection? Because I'm hearing this from a lot, both sexes, and just a lot of people that it's really freaking hard to find a match these days.
I'm really a bad person to ask that question.
Why is that? You've been dating.
I very few of the people that I've been on dates with, and I've been on a lot of dates, would I describe as like something wrong with them. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So I don't like the wording.
Yeah, so it's more that's like the fact that you're selective.
You are very analytical. Okay, so let me rephrase. What is your ideal match?
Have you seen the Britney Spears I'm a Slave for You music video?
Shut up. I have no words at all.
See, this is why I like him, because he's funny.
So you don't know?
No, like someone who's just really considerate.
Me, but like normal and nicer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, somebody who's considerate, somebody you just want like a nice person.
Yeah, that's the most
who's
important.
Also intelligent, yeah. I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really like how April challenges me.
Yeah.
Like,
that's why we're good friends. Yeah. That's why like I feel like we're going to be friends going forward. Which like eventually like you're going to start dating someone, I'm going to start dating someone, so we won't be able to be like as close. Like I've been blowing up his text messages like all week.
Yeah.
But I feel like that we're definitely compatible on a friend side of it. But also, like, I wanted to... It was me. I just sent you an Instagram.
I'm turning on my phone because I have a list for this question. But, like, this, it's, like summarized by somebody who just, like, really, really cares about what they do.
In all aspects of life?
Maybe just in relationships. Hmm. Like, that's what I most value. That's what I feel like, oh, John, tell me about yourself. I told you about my sisters. I didn't really talk about my work. I don't really care that much about work.
Right.
I don't, like, find value.
You're like, I just live there. It's fine. I don't really care that much.
Like, John, why do you matter? And I would never say, oh, because I'm a manager at work and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, right.
It's all about the relationships that I tend to mm-hmm. and what people feel about me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, wow, that was vague.
So vague, which is so
weird.
I'm walking
away from, like, no clarification yeah. on who to hook
well,
up
you're,
with.
You're about to pull up your list, right?
Is yeah, yes, I want to hear this. Okay.
So do that. But I would say, too, that, like, it's less of a struggle for you. So, and we've had this conversation before, too, where he's like, you know, obviously it's not, like, that there's something wrong with me. He's like, I'm just very particular, like, yeah. about who I choose to spend my time with, who I choose to date. Like, I have, I don't want to say, like, you're high maintenance or you have high standards. You just, like, you really want to find that person who fits the mold. Mm-hmm. Like, you're selective. But it's not, like, you know, like, with any malice or ill intent.
Sure.
Like, it's, you know, you want to find someone who's a nice person.
Yeah, I mean, I don't consider any
and
of my
time.
And
he doesn't trigger you.
Yeah.
You're like, April, you're really bad at that, so. It's definitely not
going
to work.
I have some good ones in here.
Okay say them.
Solves problems with direct communication.
Mm-hmm.
That
That's
is
a good
something,
one.
Okay, this is really helping now. Directness is something I have experienced maybe like once or twice in all of my dating since I've been divorced.
Okay.
And a lot of people, like, I think a lot of women think they're being direct because they'll get really, like, it's hard to say. Like, they'll say something, but really they're saying there's something behind it. And you just have to question, like, yeah. how are you feeling?
Passive aggressive.
Yeah.
A little bit, but just, like, not concentrating on how they're feeling, but how that feeling's making them do things.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That makes sense.
So sometimes I just have to ask somebody,
well, that's
like,
probably the age group that you're dating. Those women aren't incredibly self-aware yet. That comes with age.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that's another thing about you is, like, you're on that path to becoming, like, the most self-aware, like, which is super impressive.
But most women are not going to match. They're not going to be able to match that because they're just not there yet.
Yeah, I don't like the filtering by age either because, like, the most emotionally aware person I've dated has been 25.
Yeah. I'm just going to have to disagree with you there.
Yeah. I mean,
as a female who has walked the, you know, I've been on the path and on the journey, and I remember how I was at 25, and this, you know, this person you met at 25 who was incredibly self-aware, yay.
She's the anomaly, but
she's
so are you.
She's the anomaly.
Yeah,
she
it's like
anomaly, yeah.
You use age as a filter for lots of people, you know, like, who's most likely to be blank, but then there's also exceptions, right?
There's always exceptions.
There's outliers,
sure.
without question.
Yeah.
But I just think from a not to stereotype, what's the word I'm looking for? Just most women.
The rule.
I guess the general rule would be most women self-discover through their 20s and really, really don't become comfortable with who they are as a human until they're 35 plus. And that's just most just don't. And that's just because there's not a lot of self-discovery going on. But that's, you know.
I'm going to change my options on my dating app. 35.
No. Keep going with
all right.
your list.
Personally responsible. Overcomes that impulse to blame others when things go wrong.
Yeah. And where'd you get that from?
My dad.
Yeah.
And also Jocko Willink.
Yeah, and Jocko, yeah.
Yeah.
Extreme ownership. You're welcome for the plug, Jocko. I'm sure he's listening.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
Great
I mean,
book.
I'm famous.
And this is kind of similar, like, believes in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
like morally, I don't believe there's any gray area.
Oh no. My gosh. Yeah. I mean, you and I would definitely disagree on that one.
Yeah.
We definitely would. Do. Definitely do.
And it just comes from my dad, man. Like, he's the most truthful, most honest person. He didn't tell me to be that way. He just is that way.
Right.
I just see it in him and I'm like, damn.
That's how I want to be. Right.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. And awesome that you have such a good relationship with your family and your parents and all of that.
And when you say it has to be black or white, there's no gray area. What are you talking about? Like,
yeah,
picking
bros.
Sides?
What are you talking about?
Are you talking about, are you politics, religion?
Like,
what are you talking
like
about?
For example,
morally and ethically?
Someone I know had, was dating someone and they went to a party or something. This was like a while back, but it just gives a good example. And they like kissed somebody and they were both drunk. And that's all that happened. It didn't mean anything.
Right.
And most of this person's friends all gave them the advice to just like, all you're going to be doing by telling them about this is hurting them emotionally.
It's a transference of guilt.
Right. And I completely disagree with that. 100%.
Yeah, I think so too. I think
nothing is more important than the truth.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I completely disagree with both of you. Yeah. I think that it's a transference of guilt. I think that you, as a human, make mistakes. And if that piece of information, if you're going to take the steps towards never making that mistake again, that's one thing. If you're going to continue to repeat the behavior, that's another.
If that happened to me, I could not.
Yeah, I'm also not capable of doing it, so.
No, but I mean, like,
capable of not telling.
I've been married 20 years, and I've never had a situation like that. But I will say, if it did happen, I have to tell on myself. And fine, transference of guilt, call it what you will, but I have to tell. And if Brad says, you know, pack your bags and see, well, first of all, I'd kick his ass if he did that, but... I'm like, dude, get over it. But I would have to tell. Yeah. I would have to say this happened and I'm so sorry and I can't believe
right,
it.
But that's the question is like, why do you have to tell because you made
because
a mistake?
Because it was dishonest.
Is that going to be beneficial for your partner?
It's more about if you ever do this, you better let me know. I want to know if there's ever anything that happens.
Being aware of the information.
It's just being honest
with
each
other.
It's just
the right thing to do, man.
It's just the right thing to do. Yeah.
Nobody explained it to me growing up.
Yeah, I guess that's
my mom didn't explain.
I
could go through all the bullshit reasons about how it affects the other person. Like, oh, they'll trust you more. Or, like, you know, like, it'll make them feel bad. But in the end, they'll know they can trust you. Like, these are all also good reasons to
do. They're all, like, side effects.
But they're all side effects. Like, it's just the right thing to do.
Thank
like,
you. That is the best way to sum it up. Because it doesn't matter how it impacts you or how it impacts them.
Yeah.
It's just the
I'm not
right
saying
thing
that I
do.
Wouldn't ever... I'm not saying that if that happened to me in a relationship, I wouldn't, A, want to know, B, tell the other person. I just think, like, playing devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Like, if something like that were to happen, even with, like, friends or whatever, I mean, you never know how the other person is going to take that. But I mean, I'm just saying I can see the other side.
I would
want to
know if it was Brad, I would want to know.
Yeah.
And I think maybe honoring that, I would want him to know if I ever did something dishonorable.
What else is on your list? So again, for everyone that's listening, I think very highly of John. And I think that it's like, I think it's impressive your level of self-awareness and also like...
At 30, man, yeah.
Yeah, and to have the ability...
Trigger.
Why are you judging me by my age again? But like having the ability...
Oh, is that a trigger for you?
Yes.
No, not really.
Totally,
I was just joking.
Totally triggered. But like having the ability to not only like have the conversation with me, but being open enough to come on my podcast and talk about it. Like I think that speaks volumes.
Super cool. What's next?
Also, you're welcome.
Thank you. Let's see. Waist to measurements. just kidding.
Hips to butt ratio. He likes thick girls too, obviously.
Getting too detailed now.
Can you keep talking, please? It's awkward when no one is speaking.
Why is it awkward?
I will delete out the silence.
See?
I'll edit it out. Because
it's awkward.
I like it. It builds anticipation.
Because you're awkward.
I have one in here that says secure in their own value. And I think that's going to sound like I expect someone to always be that way because I'm definitely not. But someone who...
You're like, I need someone to fill that void because I'm not.
Like, who knows why they're valuable? But they don't always have to feel great. Like, they can have vulnerable moments. That's like so much of being in a relationship is someone you can be vulnerable with who's not going to judge you badly.
Right.
Right. So that That's one.
So somebody who's confident, not arrogant, confident.
Secure.
Secure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else?
This is an interesting one. I wrote this one a long time ago.
I can't wait.
It says, so
you really
I
do have a lot of lists, don't you?
No.
Liar.
Total liar.
You're a liar.
I can't lie for more than 3 seconds.
We have a list. We've had an ongoing list for like a month of things that we need to talk about in person and not via text.
So this one is going to like may open a black hole or a can of worms. But mm-hmm. I've listened to a lot of like men's dating advice stuff, and some of that shit can be pretty
shitty.
Exactly. Yeah.
Some of that shit can be pretty shit.
But they talk about how women tend to date people who are across or above their socioeconomic status.
Yes, true.
Yeah. It's kind of like the equivalent of like girls not liking, probably not liking that guys mostly date girls who are a lot younger than them or something.
Right.
It's like the same, like we're mad at each other. Right. It's a battle of the sexes thing.
Yeah.
But I wrote like a love that transcends that biological need. You know, like we all have some kind of like biological mm-hmm. attraction to people, but something that like is greater than that. I don't know.
That's
so deep.
Yeah. I'm like trying to process exactly what you mean by that, but
I think it's just a fancy way, a silly way of saying like someone who really sees you, and even though you have all these other things about you,
right,
it's not just about that. I don't know.
So you want someone to love you for you.
Yeah.
Not what you do for a living or your family or your outer appearance.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Someone who sees like the real person inside.
Like when I'm curled up in my PJs watching Coco.
Yeah. Or like when you cry with your mom.
Yeah, we're done.
I love it. So I hate to do this.
Yeah.
But we have
I think this is good. I think that was a really good
episode. Fun. There's some silences that we will be editing out.
He's like, but I like the awkward half silence the fun.
For listener experience. But no, it was a lot of fun. It was interesting listening to just people in the dating scene because that's so not my world. And then just your transparency and vulnerability. I mean, honestly, I'm impressed by your self-awareness and your ability to be incredibly vulnerable. It is a rare thing. And I hate to say the age thing again, but it is rare at your age to be there, honestly, for men in general.
Yes.
To be that vulnerable. So it's impressive. And it is going to be wildly intimidating by a lot of women because they're not there yet.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a challenge for you to find somebody that you can really roll with and feel comfortable with and who feels comfortable with you.
Well, great.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I instantly regret sharing all the things on my list now.
No, please don't.
No, you shouldn't.
I think it's
you shouldn't.
Yeah, and I was going to say too, like, again, there's so many positive things that I didn't list in this podcast about him, which is like more and more great things, like so many things. I can't even express them all. But I think that it's like so impressive, again, that he is self-aware and a kind person. Mm-hmm. Like he's just,
I can tell that,
genuinely kind and nice and cares about other people. And that's, you know, another reason why I feel like we have good like friendship chemistry, even though, you know, we aren't going to date or whatever. Like, I think that's a very big takeaway from this episode too. And from this experience in my life, like I was talking to somebody else from Hinge, which is the dating app. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know, he asked me, how is online dating going for you? And I was like, it's, you know, it's not terrible. It hasn't been like amazing, but I've made a lot of friends and I actually have made a lot of friends from it. Mm-hmm. You being one of them, I've made probably 2 to 3, Gianfranco. I met him on a dating app. Like the fact that I get to meet these people and whether we work out in a relationship or not shows the level of maturity and self-awareness that I can say, hey, I had a good time with you. I think that you're a great person, but you're just not my person. And I think that more people need to realize that just because you're on a dating app doesn't mean that you're going to find the one, number one. Mm. But you can enjoy yourself, have some great experiences, meet some really cool people, go do fun things, like even if they're just filler dates.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I can like say completely true, like I've become more self-aware since we started dating and since we've been friends. So thanks for that.
You're welcome.
That's awesome. I love that. That's a great compliment.
Oh my God, you just filled my bucket.
Look at that. wasn't even intentional. Okay.
Pour a little out.
Wasn't even intentional.
Don't get a big head or anything. But yeah, awesome. So, and that's what I wanted the takeaway and the message to be from this episode is that, like, now not only do I get to call John a friend, I get to have a new friend, new life experiences, someone new to talk with about relationships or music or whatever. And now, you know, he got to meet Chloe and he gets to experience that and what that's like to be around a friend that has a kid and just so many different things. And I think that if we looked at it as if like new opportunities and dating and being on dating apps is a new way to enrich our lives versus just like self-serving.
Uh-huh,
right. When am I going to find my person? Mm-hmm, what is it? What's in it for me?
Right.
What can us two people learn together?
Exactly. Instead, right? Yeah. Even if that doesn't end up being, you know, a boyfriend, so a girlfriend, beautiful. Or a marriage, I or whatever. It. Yeah.
Group
that's
hug.
Why. That's why. That's why I wanted him to come on.
Well,
so.
Thank you for being on, and thank you for sharing so much of your. I want to say heart. I don't want to be mushy, but just. I mean,
he can. That, you can be mushy. He's mushy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing your
self-aware
heart,
and mushy.
Not on the air.
You are mushy.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, y'all.
Yes.
And leave us a review.
Yes,
even if
only
it's
five
not
stars.
Okay. I was going
to
say...
You're not allowed to leave anything less than five stars.
Okay.
You got a problem, send us an email, biggirlpantspod@gmail.com.
And she said it. Bye.
Bye.